And what is the sadhana for this? The first sadhana, or the first aspect of the sadhana, or if you want to cling to the idea that there are four means, the first of the four means is known as viveka. The first is viveka. If that introduction was clear, then viveka is quite simple. What is viveka has been, as read out to you from this book, has been translated into discrimination. One has to be discriminatory in order to understand this discrimination. It's not discrimination in the sense of division. It is discrimination in the sense of wisdom. It is discrimination in the sense of clear-sightedness. Discrimination in the sense of clear-sightedness. Possibly, one may use the word wisdom. But again, what is wisdom? You know, I have my definition of wisdom. If you are wise, you are dumb. That's called wisdom. Wisdom. When you are wise, you are dumb. And that is called wisdom. Wisdom. Nitya anitya vastu viveka. The understanding of the impermanent as the impermanent and the permanent as the permanent is wisdom. It's not, one has to tread softly and carefully here. It is not discrimination between the real and the unreal, permanent and the impermanent. It is not understanding of the difference between the permanent and the impermanent. You are still dividing, you are still struggling. And as you go on struggling like this, you are likely to be caught more in the impermanent than in the permanent, more in the unreality than in the reality, because you are fighting, struggling to avoid the unreality all the time. Can the unreality be seen as the unreal and the reality be seen as understood to be real? It's quite simple. That is viveka. You see that this is unreal, unreal in the sense that it has been created by your own mind, by the mind. That it is as real as the mind. It is as real as the mind allows it to be real. When you are examining this, When you are trying to understand this, what you are doing is meditation. Already. So right on the first step, doorstep, there is meditation. You are constantly inquiring into this, into the nature of experience. And you begin to see that all this is changing. All these experiences are changing. And if there is constant change, if change is constant, what is it that is constant in all this change? There is constant change in our life. What is constant in this change? The seer. That which becomes aware of all this change, all these changes, the procession, the succession of changes, that which is aware of all this, that doesn't change, does it? If even that changes, something must be there to see this procession. What is it, or who is it, that becomes aware, that is aware of this procession of constant change? I. When you say I, the I becomes an object. Right? And then, once again, you clothe that I with childhood, youth, old age, etc., etc. That I was a young boy, I was so and so, I was so and so, I was there, I was here. That I is already an object. No. What is it that is aware of all this, of even these changes that have taken place in relation to this I? I was a baby, I was a young man, I went to school, I went to Rishikesh, I came here, I went there. This I seems to be moving all the time. But what is it that was aware of all these changes? That enquirer is the reality, is the unchanging reality. Not the enquiry, nor the object that is temporarily picked up in order to carry on this enquiry. That is a sadhana. The objects that are used and the effort that is put into it is a sadhana, or the means. What is it that is making all this effort? What is it that is inquiring into this? That is knowledge. Maybe, may not be. Because the moment you use that word, you are going to make that an object. That's why in this particular Jnana Yoga approach is considered the razor's edge, trembling all the time. The moment you use a word, you use a verb, you find a verbal answer, you find a notion, it becomes an object. And therefore one gets hold of this object and shakes it. I'm not interested in this object at all, I'm interested in what it is that is aware of this as object. Not, please notice the question very carefully. I'm not saying I want to become aware of, I want to know what becomes aware of this object. No. What is it that becomes aware of this as an object? So even the existence of the object is not taken for granted. Even that is left tenuous, questionable. That is Viveka. And this is the constant companion of one who treads the path of self-knowledge. Tough, isn't it? That's what makes it tough. If you watch yourself very carefully in that process, there seems to be, to begin with, there seems to be an inward flow of attention. Words. What is inward, what is external? But because there has been an externalized motion of energy, even arresting it seems to be an inward motion of the same energy. We are used to this. We are used to this externalized motion. When that externalized motion is suddenly halted, there is a feeling. It's very much like a fast-moving car on a dirt road. When it halts, the dust seems to flow on towards it. That is about the feeling that one gets when one begins this, when one begins this inquiry. Stop, dead stop, my God. While I am looking at her, I am also looking at what is it that thinks this is so and so. Something seems to open up within you. Something seems to open up within you. Nothing opens really, because it was that I was seeing all the time. It was that knowledge, that intelligence, that was experiencing all the time. But when this externalized motion is arrested, there is feeling of an inward motion, introversion. And its expression in life is called Vairagya. Vairagya is considered, translated, dispassion. Sometimes they even regard it as an aversion to the world. Which makes it look as if the yogi is a world hater. Some of them take it literally and they hate the world. They can do most fantastic things. But it's possible that it does not mean that. Dispassion may not mean, Vairagya may not mean, dispassion in the sense of world hating, world abandoning. Because one who abandons the world often keeps it in his own mind all the time. Often, not always, often. This Vairagya springs from Viveka. When it is known that the world is in the mind, not elsewhere, not outside. The world is in the mind. And it is the mind, what is seen outside, we have gone into it once before. What is seen outside is not outside. What is seen is only what the mind sees within itself. The brain sees all these impressions on the retina. Afterwards, we guess that she must be sitting in front. Why is it so? Because I see it. Where is the image of her produced on the retina? The world, in truth, is only in the mind. In fact, it is in the mind. And I am aware of the world only as it is presented to the brain, to the mind. Not the outside world. And the description of the world, the characterization of the world, is also dependent entirely upon the mind and its moods. Right? That's fairly clear. The world outside is never apprehended in its reality, in its own form. Narupamasyeha tato balabhyate nanto nuchadin rajasam pratishtha. This is a verse in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, you don't even know the world as it is. You only read into it what you want to read into it. The world to you is what you would like it to be or what you are afraid it is. It's never seen for what it is. This happens to us. If I think that is my friend, I think he is my friend. What a silly, endless argument. I first determine that he is my friend, and then he is my friend. If he hurts my feelings, or if he does something to harm me, then I think he is my enemy, and I see he is an enemy. In other words, I never know him for what he is. Never. Once I see that the world is in the mind, then there is viveka, wisdom. The world is the mind. The world is in the mind. The world is the mind. The world is thought. The world is my own thinking. The reality of the world is the intelligence, the consciousness in me, not an external object. When that is clearly seen within, then there is no attraction. The world does not charm me anymore. The world does not distract me anymore. The world does not delude me anymore. The world does not fool me anymore. That is dispassion. So that I am not looking at the world through rosy spectacles or dark glasses. We are all the time looking at the world either through very rosy spectacles, marvelous, wonderful place to live in, or through dark glasses. It's frightening. When both these colors are abandoned by how am I able to abandon both these? By knowing that the world is not that. The world is what is in the mind. The reality of the world is the substance of my mind. When that is seen, the colouring is dropped. And that is vairagya. That vairagya itself is the source of all the virtue, shat sampat. There are six virtues we will discuss tomorrow in detail. That viveka and that vairagya themselves bring about virtue, goodness, discipline, self-discipline. You don't have to go around asking people to discipline you or finding out what kind of discipline must I, what kind of vows must I take, what kind of resolves must I adopt. When the unreal is seen as the unreal, and the reality is seen as the reality, and all colouring of the mind is dropped, then virtue exists, comes into being without any problem at all. You are not attracted by anything, you are not repelled by anything, it is pure virtue in its simplest form. All these are based on mumukshutva. Mumukshutva is literally desire for liberation, which is not a desire, it's a yearning for liberation. When we vaguely see what is real and what is unreal, then there is a bewilderment and a wonderment within oneself. If this is real, why am I so terribly trapped by what I know to be unreal? Why is it that in spite of all this, all my knowledge and all my understanding, all my viveka, why is it that I am still caught, I am still trapped in this world appearance? And the eagerness to get out of the trap is known as mumukshutva. We'll discuss in detail tomorrow.
Om Shanti Shanti.